A warm welcome to episode 41 of the Baltic Triangle podcast, wherever you're listening, from me, Mick Ord.
And me, Mark Reeson. In this episode, we'll be hearing from the new chief executive of the Baltic Creative CIC, Lynn Haim, following the departure of Mark Lawler early this year. Lynn's background is in the commercial property sector, and she's excited to be leading the organisation through the next stage of its development.
The brand of Baltic Creative punches massively above its weight, and it's something I picked up really quickly. I hadn't appreciated it quite so much before I joined here. We had a delegation over from Finland in my first week. They wanted to come and have a look at the Baltic Creative model to see what they could learn from it. Transpired that they had a place called the Cable Factory in Helsinki. It was about 600,000 square feet, and I was quite astounded. You know, they're five times as big as we are in terms of footprint, but they've heard about Baltic Creative and they're coming to learn from us.
And we'll also be hearing from Paul Webley from Blaze Media, based in the Baltic Triangle, and winners of the Creative and Digital Agency of the Year at the Downtown in Liverpool Business Awards. We found out why.
I think people know it as a creative space. They know that the most creative businesses in Liverpool are potentially around here. What we always try and do is we always try and get clients to visit us as quickly as possible in the relationship. I think when they come into the Baltic, it projects the right image. We've got a lovely space where we are. And I think when people walk into it, they know that we're a serious business and that the staff are all very vibrant. There's lots of young people, and I think if you were going to market your business, that's probably what you want nowadays.
And before we hear from this month's guest, a big thank you as ever to our sponsors, Baltic Creative CIC, which supports the digital and creative sector in the Baltic Triangle business area.
Well, Mark, the festive season is well and truly upon us. People may well be listening to this in the new year or between Christmas and New Year, but at the moment, why don't we talk about last night first anyway? Because we did go out for the first time in ages, did we not?
We did indeed. We had our Christmas do, as it were. We started out the evening in the fantastic Hobo, a Hobo kiosk with Tristan and the fantastic company that he keeps down there, which was brilliant. I must admit, I did turn up a little late to the party, as it were. So you were slightly ahead of me in the drinks race, but you know, I think it was a great start to the evening, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. And then we saw Ian Prowse's Christmas show at the O2 Academy. And I have seen him live a couple of times before, but I thought it was fantastic. So did you, didn't you?
Oh, I really did, Mick. I thought he was absolutely on fire last night. And it was well worth braving that crap weather that we've been having of late. He was on fire. Some of those songs, the whole atmosphere in the gig was superb. Really was superb. Phenomenal performance from Ian.
Yeah, we are looking forward to some gigs in the new year as well. Like, there's a lot of good people coming to Liverpool in the new year, so that's something to look forward to. It's been a difficult couple of years, let's face it, and it's just when you go to see, you know, a great piece of art, whether it's music or an exhibition or whatever, it just gives you that kind of joie de vivre back again, doesn't it?
It does indeed, mate. I mean, like I said to you last night, it was so good to be able to go to a gig like that with you after being locked down for as long as you were and just the general messing around of everything that was been going on over the last couple of years. It was just a really nice, if I had any hair, it was a great way to let it down, wasn't it? So, Mick, our first guest on this episode is Paul Webley from Blaze Media in Liverpool, who earlier this year won the Downtown in Business Award for Creative Digital Agency of the Year. And congratulations to them for that. Well deserved. Given that we are forever being told that Liverpool City Region needs to continue to grow its creative digital sector, we thought it'd be a really good idea to go behind the scenes of Blaze Media and discover exactly what it is that makes them tick.
We're a full-service digital agency based in the Baltic. We deal with e-com clients, lead generation clients, and we've just celebrated our fifth birthday.
When I first met you, you were in a relatively small space in Crosby in North Liverpool. And I remember a conversation that we had at the time, which was around you moving. You did look around some places, but I get the impression you were drawn to the Baltic, weren't you?
So, yeah, we moved twice in Crosby in a very short space of time. And then we realised that we needed a bigger space to grow into. We looked around central Liverpool. We looked around Crosby itself even. And then we found a space, or we've seen a space come up in the Baltic. We walked in and we knew straight away that it was the one for us. really creative environment in the building, and we took it straight away.
There's something about the Baltic, isn't there? I mean, it's obviously, you know, you're just surrounded by people of like mind. There's always something going on. There's always things happening in the building. Even if you pop downstairs from here in Chapters and had a coffee, then obviously there's stuff going on. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I do feel like that. And I feel like there's a lot of creative people about, and people want to come and work here. And when we have, we've grown really, really quickly. And when we have job interviews with people, they like the vibe around here. It's enabled us to hire. And also when clients come and see us, they get a really good feeling about it straight away.
You mentioned how fast you've grown there as a business. Maybe you could just give me some sense of why you think that's happened.
There's a pent-up demand for companies to want to keep their marketing spend in Liverpool, I think. I think we know that there's fantastic talent in Liverpool, and we have, I think, become the default agency in Liverpool for people to come to. That's enabled us to be able to keep some of this talent in Liverpool and not be a brain drain in the city of people going to London agencies, to other big cities in the north. And I think that's really important for us.
I think there's something that really resonates with the people of Liverpool in particular, is the fact that people have, you know, have left in the past and then, you know, come back. I think there's a lot of reasons to stay in Liverpool now. And, you know, looking at your business, I think that's definitely one of them. How do you intend to kind of grow your business? And maybe tell me a little bit about what your business is.
I worked outside of Liverpool for 12 years. The opinion was in what I did that you couldn't earn the right money in Liverpool. There was a bit of a stigma there. And one of the main reasons that I started Blaze was to get over that, to have a place to come for talented people to work, earn a good wage. And I think we'll always have a base in Liverpool. It'll always be our headquarters. We'll always want to take the most talented people on in Liverpool. But there will come a point where the Liverpool brand needs to open in other cities, maybe in other countries. And the cool thing is that some of our staff can go open those offices, and it just enables us to grow organically.
And what sort of services do you think you'd be offering in those other agencies that you might create?
So a lot of our business is things like paid search, SEO, graphic design, even web design. So we try and offer the full breadth of digital marketing services. I don't see that being any different if we open an office elsewhere. We'll have a core team and specialists within that team to do those things, basically.
You are being recognised more and more and more for the talents that you've got in this agency. I understand you won an award recently. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we won Liverpool's Creative and Digital Agency of the Year a couple of months ago, which was cool. Some recognition for what we were doing. It's given us a bit of kudos in the city. When we've interviewed people, they know about it too, which is always really, really good. So recognition is always a good thing in marketing, obviously.
And do you think you're being recognised other places as well? Is it sort of something that you think will just grow exponentially?
Yeah, I think so. So of our client base, about 70% of it is based in the Merseyside area, but we have clients all over the world, basically. So we have large tech clients with German or USA bases. But what we've tried to do over a period of time is get the institutional business within Liverpool. And over the last year, we've been quite successful with that.
Do you think it's helped being in the Baltic? I mean, do you think that's definitely something that's attracted clients to you, just generally around?
I think people know it as a creative space. They know that the most creative businesses in Liverpool are potentially around here. What we always try and do is we always try and get clients to visit us as quickly as possible in the relationship. I think when they come into the Baltic, it projects the right image. We've got a lovely space where we are. And I think when people walk into it, they know that we're a serious business and that the staff are all very vibrant. There's lots of young people. And I think if you were going to market your business, that's probably what you want nowadays.
I agree. I mean, I think you've got a really good, young, dynamic team. There's always something happening here. You know, and the thing is as well, it feels like a really good place to work as well. So I think it's really important. It's almost like a family atmosphere here.
Yeah, and I think one of the big things is recruitment's difficult. There's definitely been a brain drain out of Liverpool. And I think all agencies struggle to recruit. So what we've got to do is try and keep as many of our staff as possible in the same way that we genuinely do keep clients. It's very rare that we lose either. It's smart when we do. But I think we actively try as hard to keep staff as we do to keep clients.
I think one thing that you can't escape, really, when you think about Blaze Media is that you have had, as I said before, phenomenal growth. And a lot of that growth has come, in some really tough times, all through COVID and now beyond COVID into this tough time that we're potentially facing now.
Yeah, I think one of the ways that we're different from a lot of agencies is that everyone's in the office. We don't do remote working. It's a very collaborative business. It enables us to be efficient. It enables us to drive the right behaviours in the team. It also means that everyone feels really close. And you mentioned the family aspect before. It genuinely does feel like that. It works really well for customers as well, because they can come in, they can see us, they can see the member of the team who's working on their actual account. And it just enables a closer bond between us and them.
You've recently celebrated your fifth anniversary, which is fantastic. What are some of the key learnings and what do you put that success that you've had over the last 5 years down to?
So I think because our industry moves so quickly, tech's always evolving and social media's evolving. And I think the best thing what we can do is hire really smart people, because they can adapt to when there's a new algorithm change. They can adapt to when there's a new platform which comes out. And as we grow as a business, we need different things from people. So we've really, really tried over a period of time to hire not just talented people, but really smart people. Or where we've seen the best growth is when we can really identify someone who's driven to do better and they can learn on the job. As long as they're smart enough to do so, they can be the most talented person in the room.
And how do you think that reflects back into your business and the kind of business that you're doing with clients then?
Well, although we are an analytical business, we are in the ideas business. So we need smart, creative people who can come up with ideas for the clients over a long period of time, which enables us to keep them, because what we don't want to do is go stale, and clients don't want us to go stale either. So we've got to continually challenge ourselves and our clients.
Paul, tell me about the future for Blaze.
So we're a really ambitious business. We try and think bigger and do better. We've got a really successful business in Liverpool at the moment. We want to pick that up, maybe take it somewhere else in Europe or elsewhere in the world. We'll never lose our base in Liverpool. We'll make sure that we still acquire the best talent, the most creative people, but it will enable us to grow year on year. We want to double in size next year again, whether that be revenue or staff, and just keep challenging ourselves as a business.
So that's fantastic. Well, great news for the city and great news for you as a business, especially in these tough times. So how can we keep up with what's happening with you across the social platforms that you're on?
So we're really active on socials, but if you want to pick them all up, it's probably best to go to www.blazemedia.co.uk. You can get all our socials from there.
Paul, I know how busy you are. Thank you so much for giving me some time. And I look forward to catching up with whatever you're up to on socials.
Thanks again, Mark. I really appreciate it.
Thanks to Paul Webley from Blaze for talking to us. Good to have him on the podcast. And if anyone obviously has any other suggestions about organisations or charities or companies in this area, and by this area I mean Liverpool City region, then get in touch with us and we'll see if we can feature them. What's the email, Mark? I always forget it.
The email, Mick, is info@baltictrianglepodcast.com. That's info@baltictrianglepodcast.com.
Thank you, sir. Now, when the Baltic Triangle podcast began about 3 years ago, in fact, I think it was probably more 4 years ago, our first interviewee was Mark Lawler, the former managing director of the Baltic Creative CIC. Well, Mark has now gone to pastures new for a new life overseas, having left an indelible mark on the Baltic Triangle area. Lynn Haim now takes over his role, but under a new post, a new title, Chief Executive. Lynn has worked extensively in the commercial property sector, most recently at Matthews & Goodman in Liverpool, but before that at a number of other companies, including a time at Media City in Salford, where she was asset manager. She's also worked for Urban Splash, but now embarks on a new role at the Baltic Creative CIC. When I caught up with Lynn the other week, she'd only been in post for about a month, so perhaps it was a bit unfair to me to ask her how she saw the creative and digital sector expanding in the Baltic. But I asked her anyway.
It's quite a big question 4 weeks in. I'm still getting under the skin of how the area operates beyond our kind of portfolio walls. And there's some collaboration between companies that aren't Baltic creative companies and ourselves or the businesses that we look after. So that's quite a key driver in my own view, in terms of that collaboration just builds the community. And I think the nature of creative digital tech businesses like to cluster. So if the space is available for companies to grow beyond, we're pretty fully let at the moment. I think we're about 1% void across the portfolio, which is great. Still obviously receiving inquiries for space and companies that want to be here. So whether we join up with other landlords, developers to say, okay, we can't accommodate this business, but they want to be in the Baltic area. What have you got? Who do we send in the right direction? Who's relevant for, you know, the contacts that we've got and spaces that we may be aware are available. But also I think more directly looking at where those next schemes are and what spaces need to be created, and either feeding in terms of where the demand is and whether it's, you know, what size of units people are looking for, or if it fills a gap from what we can provide size-wise, to if somebody wants to staircase beyond Baltic Creative, where those opportunities are, and whether that's an existing space that we need to be aware of, or whether we're encouraging or supporting new development. And I think generally it's the growth of the area is good for everyone. It's obviously a lot of residential coming through currently, but you've still got, you know, people living in those apartments. It's not to the detriment of the commercial stock. They've got spending power, you know, it keeps those operations that rely on customer spend that'll have a slightly more 24/7 captive audience for, you know, weekend evening trades that they might not necessarily get just from the business users. So it's all part of kind of putting back into the economy of this vicinity and to help encourage the further regeneration in this area.
So what would your role be, say, in, you know, talking about some of the residential developments we've got here? I mean, Mark mentioned in the last podcast we did with him over a year ago that he was keen to try, you know, that the area tried to attract more families, not just sort of single people and students, for example. That was one area that he thought could develop over the next couple of years. What's your view on that, on the residential developments that are coming up now and that will no doubt continue to come up over the years to come?
Yeah, there's still plenty to come, and we're aware of some developers that are looking at pushing their plots forward now. I think from the family perspective, it's somewhere to aim for. I think probably in the short term, it's possibly not the biggest target in terms of purchaser or occupier in that location. But I suppose you've got to look at it as a almost a micro city for it to be self-sustaining. You know, we started seeing already the hotels and the retail that are popping up, which weren't here historically. There's still elements of industrial uses which may well change over years to come if they, I suppose, aligning slightly with where the 10 streets are. It's almost seeing that area where Baltic was 10, 11 years ago. It's that sort of there at the beginning of the journey. We're sort of coming through to the kind of middle end of it. And I think it will continue to grow. There's probably a way to go before it's a family. I think there's a big F&B focus still, and that's growing. And you've got the addition of Box Park and the development, further development of Kane's Brewery site. So I think the people that will be attracted to the location short to medium term are going to be the ones that think it's a cool place to be. And, you know, it's the younger generation not looking at ourselves, Mick, in that bracket. But yeah, I think when you start looking at families, you then look at green spaces, the support services that you need with that, like your doctors and your schools. And, you know, it's another level of growth again, which is on, you know, probably a far bigger scale, but maybe years to come. That's the direction of travel.
I mean, one of the areas of growth is the likelihood that the new rail station will be open near here, the St. James rail station. Mm-hmm. What input do you have into plans like that? I mean, first of all, I want to ask you, do you know what the timescale is? Because I know we've had sustainability study and all that, but, you know, given
that... Actually, I got asked the question directly on a panel my first week in, actually, and how important it was, which I think is critical, absolutely crucial. It would be a game changer for the location. I think, bizarrely, we're far too car dependent. And for me, as part of the Baltic area, it seems at odds with the people and the workforce. And, you know, I'm sure the train station would see a complete transformation in terms of how people get to work and our offices and even, you know, weekends and other occasions or reasons to visit. In terms of influence, again, I would like to think we've got influence, and I will be one of the things I've got on my list to do is to find out how we can support it, how we can lobby to make sure it is going to happen, it's on the right track, and what can we provide to help, you know, the questionnaire. I was talking about it this morning, actually, when we were going through the questionnaire. It's a new question on it in terms of trying to find out what people's current means of transport, of commuting, coming to the Baltic area are, and what direct impact the train station would have. So we can use some of those statistics then to feed back to say, look, you know, we've done our own survey and it's absolutely not beyond question, it needs to happen. Timescale wise, I've heard, and I can't even remember where I heard it from, a kind of 2025 year, which I was quite heartened by, and I didn't know an awful lot about the background and the history of the station. I actually thought it was a relatively newish thing, but I was looking at an old press file in the office day before yesterday, actually, and it was in, I think it was in the Post and Echo or whatever journal it was. It was 11 years old, this press article, and Mark was actually commenting on the arrival of the train, or the chat of the train station, the potential of it and how good it would be. So I'm a bit kind of despondent now, thinking, oh, blimey, I thought it was going to be fantastic and it's all quite current and it's got some momentum. Hadn't appreciated, been talking about it for 10, 11 years now, but hopefully it's kind of at the forefront and that momentum will continue.
Do you think that we as a city region value the digital and creative sector as much as we could? After all, they do tend to bring relatively skilled and well-paid jobs into the city, and Liverpool desperately needs those jobs.
I think whether it's valued is a difficult one. I mean, it's a massively hot topic, and again, something we've spoken about recently. It's a bit under the radar, I think, in terms of how it could be useful for generating further investment and raising the profile of the city as a location for, you know, skills in that sector. I think when you kind of morph into the gaming side of things as well, there's a massive story that we should be shouting about, whether it's, you know, a European stage or beyond. The stuff that's coming out of Liverpool, I think because of the nature of it, it's quite under the radar, and the operations themselves are quite sort of clandestine almost about the work that's undertaken. And, you know, the outputs, it's significant in terms of it's a success story, and it's, you know, there's a big economic benefit in terms of attracting talent, keeping the kids that are coming out of the universities at whatever level or further education or school, where they think they might find a place that's not automatically thinking, I need to go to Manchester or London for it. So I think there's just a bigger story to tell around the skills and the businesses that are here that are significant, that either play it down or purposely keep it under, you know, under.
Why do you think that is? Because, I mean, you've come from, you know, among the other places you mentioned, you've come from Media City, and anyone just got to go there and see the impact that that's had for the Greater Manchester region. Why do you think it is here that it hasn't hit the bullseye in terms of profile?
I don't know whether it's because it's a bit disparate in terms of you've got lots of small businesses operating, just getting on with it, getting the job done, not shouting about it, or the bigger ones might go in a slightly different direction, or they get bought out by bigger companies because of the successes of them. I think the big sort of headline, the you know, the great news about Media City is it's kind of all in one campus. It's quite easy to look at it and go, it's fantastic. All of those businesses all in one fairly compact location, anything from a sort of two-man band in a container unit up to the BBC buildings. And the supply chain's there, and the outputs are there, and obviously the broadcast element of it is there for the world to see. So it's perhaps a more straightforward platform to shout from at Media City, because the brand itself is strong and the businesses in there have got lots of, there's more higher profile companies there. The small ones can sort of get some reflected glory from having that address at Media City. And I think here, Baltic does actually benefit from that. You know, there's lots of, I think the brand of Baltic Creative punches massively above its weight. And it's something I picked up really quickly. I hadn't appreciated it quite so much before I joined here. We had a delegation over from Finland in my first week. And it's the reach of, you know, they wanted to come and have a look at the Baltic Creative model to see what they could learn from it. Transpired that they had a place called the Cable Factory in Helsinki. It was about 600,000 square feet. And I was quite astounded. You know, they're five times as big as we are in terms of footprint, but they've heard about Baltic Creative and they're coming to learn from us on how to kind of operate a creative digital tech hub, which is quite significant. So perhaps we need to shout a bit louder as well and say, you know, there's plenty going on in Liverpool. Come and find out, and our door's open to come and talk to us about it.
Well, we'll have a great opportunity when Eurovision comes here next year, won't we? I mean, we need to use that as a platform to market the Baltic,
absolutely,
don't we?
And I think Liverpool generally, it's there's obviously the clusters that we've got here with the creative, and I'm sure there'll be lots of involvement on certain levels for certain businesses during that time of Eurovision. But I think all the ingredients, going back to, you know, the point about the digital tech sector, gaming even, if you look at that and then you've got the Eurovision profile, the slightly more obvious historic cultural associations with the city, if you kind of put them all together, there's such a success story. And we've taken a bit of a battering reputationally in recent years. And I think it just takes a bit of positive chat to almost get people to forget about that. Look at what's going on at the moment. Look at where it's going in the future. I think I mentioned again fairly recently, when not long after Eurovision was announced, the World Gymnastics was on at the arena, and I was watching the gymnastics on the TV, scrolling through, looking at people getting excited about Eurovision coming to Liverpool. And it suddenly dawned on me, all these things are on a massive scale, global references and awareness, people coming into the city from everywhere. And we should have this kind of constant messaging going out at how great, what we've got to offer. There's so much going on. And it's a combination of lots of different things rather than, let's, you know, pinpoint the digital sector or gaming or whatever it is. If we all join up and speak with a unified voice, the message is massive, and hopefully get rid of the negative chatter and some of those associations and just move on with the positive.
How do you see the Baltic's relationship with the powers that be in the city, starting with the council or the combined authority? How would you describe what that relationship, as far as you're concerned, should be?
Well, I mean, I think to start with historically, it's been really positive. Obviously, we wouldn't be here without the support of the city from the inception of Baltic Creative here. And I think that's something we need to work on. I've had numerous meetings already, public sector-wise, since I've joined, and education-wise with LJMU and City of Liverpool College. And I think it's, again, it's a case of we're all singing from the same hymn sheet. You know, we're all here to achieve good things and work positively. And I think, you know, we need their help. We can help them and support in with investment conversations or whatever they may be. You know, I think we need to keep that dialogue going and work together. But I think, yeah, I think historically we've had good relationships. I've got good connections and contacts already in the city region. So yeah, definitely be looking on working those through and building on them.
And you've had some good relationships with Europe as well over the years. That's an interesting area, isn't it, given Brexit and all the stuff that people know about. How do you see that developing at all?
I think, I mean, it's an area that I'm not as familiar with at the moment. As I mentioned, we had the Helsinki delegation, and that was, you know, a really positive afternoon. We spent showcasing Baltic Creative and obviously had the reciprocal invitation, which is all very exciting. And I think historically the board have visited similar setups as the Helsinki guys did, just to see how it worked. You know, you can always learn from other people who wouldn't ever profess to be perfect at anything. And I think by seeing how other people are doing it in different parts of the world, we can sort of pick best in class, and you know, you can learn from that. We had a board member recently go to a conference in Porto, which was a creative hub conference. She did say she was particularly disappointed because it was showcasing what funding is available, European funding specifically, and it wasn't a case of this funding stream may be available to you. It was like, here's a pot, we're here to show you how to get some of that pot. Brilliant, happy days. I think as that presentation continued, there was a list of countries who were eligible for the pot. Unfortunately, as it's European funding, we can't kind of get a hold of any of that now, which is...
Well, we were told, weren't we, that the government would take the place of a lot of the European funding, weren't we, all those years ago? Seems a long time ago now, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I think the conversation around reversing Brexit would be music to lots of people's ears. How realistic it is another question altogether, isn't it? But yeah, I think access to funding is going to be paramount for us personally to sort of grow and achieve the ambitions that we've got in our mind. But yeah, we'll be working very hard to see where those streams may be.
And if people have got any ideas, or organisations, as it were, have got any good ideas or questions for you, how should they go about approaching you?
Well, my door's open, to be honest, I think is the key message. You mentioned at the outset, I'm 4 weeks in. It's a steep learning curve, but I'm here to kind of broker those business relationships and connections and develop them. So yeah, by all means, feel free to get in touch, whatever means. And hopefully I can catch up with people and see how we can work together or help each other going forward.
And that was Lynn Haim. And we obviously wish her all the very best with her new role, don't we, Mick? Fantastic to see at last someone's been appointed on a permanent basis. You know, it's been the guys have been doing a fantastic job since Mark left, and kudos to them. But obviously it's fantastic, isn't it, Mick, to see that Lynn's taken up that role.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, she's very open to ideas and suggestions and partnerships, as she said. So if your organisation or you personally want to get in touch with her, then please do so. And hopefully the area will continue to expand, both in quantity and quality. And as soon as we get that rail station, hopefully she said it's in sort of 2 years' time. Once we get that, I think that's really going to signal a big development for this area and the area beyond.
So what are your plans for your new year then, Nick? What's your New Year's resolution this year?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really do resolutions very well because I always break them. I'm not sure, mate. I'm not sure of either what I'm doing. I suspect a certain amount of alcohol will be involved, although certainly not as much as last night. And for the new year, I'll tell you what, let's come up with some New Year's resolutions in the new year rather than now. It's too much for my head, mate, honest.
Good lad. All right, well, listen, Mick, one more word about our sponsors, Baltic Creative CIC.
Yeah, and a big thanks to Baltic Creative CIC, which supports the digital and creative sector in the Baltic Triangle business area. Thanks for that. And you'll be hearing from us in the new year, hopefully.
Yeah, indeed. I want everyone to have a fantastic festive break. Get well rested. Enjoy yourselves. And as ever, thank you so, so much for listening to us throughout the course of the year. We look forward to speaking to you again in the new year with some fantastic new guests and new episodes. Until then, take care, stay safe, and all the very best from the Baltic Triangle podcast.
Yeah, all the best. Bye-bye.